WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As we all know, every age has its slang, but there's more to it than that. It also has its parts of speech. In the 60s, it was the adjective, and in the 80s, it was the adverb. Now, according to linguist Jeff Nunberg, it's the interjections that are getting the attention.
I was talking to a young woman I know who had just returned from the Burning Man Festival that they hold every Labor Day weekend in the desert northeast of Reno. What was it like, I asked her, a Gen X Woodstock? No, she told me, not a bit of it. This is post-counterculture. There are people who work at Charles Schwab or Yahoo. There was a group from the Silicon Valley that came in a fleet of RVs. They walk around naked in the sun or cruise the playa in beds rigged with sails and battery-powered recliner couches. There was nude croquet, an alien abduction camp, and a huge script neon W that somebody had rigged up on top of a pole. I asked my friend what the W was for. Well, what else could it be, she said, and at this point she held her hands into the sign of the W with her index fingers raised in front of her and her thumbs touching. Whatever. It allayed any misgivings I might have had about not going to the festival myself. I mean, if you had to ask what the W stood for, you probably didn't belong there. I have to admit, though, that it's a perfect totem for the last decade of the century. It's a funny thing about slang. It isn't just the words that change from one generation to the next, but also the parts of speech. When I think of the language of the 60s, it's all those adjectives that describe the various states of altered being: far out, groovy, out of sight, funky, heavy, bummed. Then in the 70s and early 80s, we had the golden age of adverbs, with a dozen or more ways of saying very. Everything was mondo fine or seriously fresh, way tired, or totally to the curb. Or if you didn't get the adverb in at the beginning of the noun phrase, you could always exit with one of those intensifier suffixes like to the max or up the yin-yang. But over the past 10 years or so, the action's been in the interjections, the little particles that people use to comment on the passing conversational scene. When I roll the tape of 90s chatter, what stands out is all these voices snapping pithy retorts at one another. Excuse me, duh. Hello, as if, not even, don't go there, not. It's true that a lot of these have been pretty short-lived, that Wayne's World not was already passing out of use by the time that the tape of the movie was being moved out of the current racks of the video stores, and not a moment too soon. But a few of these items seem to have legs, like the whatever that signals sublime indifference to what your interlocutor's trying to say to you. Watching TV the other night, I heard it three times, first in an MTV ad, then on the new Fox show, Ally McBeal, and then finally on Suddenly Susan. I'll just go freshen my drink, says a guy chatting up a woman at a cocktail party, and she rolls her eyes and says, whatever. Of course, every age has had its slang interjections. The one word that America's given to more languages than any other, after all, is the affirmative particle, okay. The 50s had solid, the 60s had far out, the 70s saw the efflorescence of yo. But those were all upbeat comments. This is the first age to focus exclusively on the noises of cynicism and ennui. You think of the refrain from the Kurt Cobain song Smells Like Teen Spirit, which Nirvana made into a miniature anthem for the decade. Oh well, whatever, never mind. It's not surprising that survivors of Woodstock would find this a little wanting in warmth. What were the hippies about, after all, if not how far you could take good old American niceness if you set about it with single-minded intensity? On the other hand, it's an understandable reaction to the other linguistic excesses of recent years. It's no wonder that one of the emblematic figures of the age is the disaffected adolescent girl of Beetlejuice, Heathers, Clueless, or the MTV cartoon show Daria. You listen to the pumped-up Beamer enthusiasm of modern corporate prose, it makes you feel like an adolescent girl yourself. It seems as if there's no possible response but sardonic deadpan. The other day I got a message thanking me for talking to some corporate advertising people. It said, in the debrief, it was clear that our future advertising directions had been positively challenged and that they clearly harnessed a profound input. For the first time in my life, I felt a whatever rising to my lips. You can say this for whatever. It opens the way to new sensibilities. I wouldn't say that the word's ironic. It doesn't have the note of self-mockery or the moral nuance that irony requires. But when you take a throwaway tag that most people say as if they barely had enough breath to get it out, and erected in neon 50 feet over the desert floor, well, that's wit, a sensibility that was pretty thin on the ground at Yazgur's farm.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist with Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.